This is Ray, Manchester United supporter and P1 supporter. Fuck the rest of the league. Red Devils are going to win this shit. Peace out, baby. Oh, and you're listening to the DU Football Show.
They couldn't even win today.
Win what? The most high school team of high school teams award?
I wanted to play the Ken one because he was going to say, like, the daddy of Everton and Arsenal and be like, man, you're not even the daddy of Chelsea. What the fuck? Let's start the show.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Great day, yay, the fucking Gooner Graham. Smells of a lord. Looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy. Fucking United! Fucking United!
Hello and welcome to the DU Football Show, a completely biased recap of the English Premier League as told by two common American schmucks, even late night as fuck. I'm your host, Sam Houston, across the way from me. Sorry to keep you up past your bedtime, stud. My co-host, Mr. Samuel Graham.
How's it going?
High energy here tonight. Here we go.
Getting ready to go. It's a great round of fixtures. Can't wait for the weekend. Fucking get in.
Already. Much better. And on the ones and twos, Producer Mel, how are you doing tonight, Producer Mel?
I'm fantastic, thanks.
All right. We are recording at the DU Public House just outside the nation's capital. You can check us out wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, streaming live, typically on Monday nights, but not tonight, because we're just going to record it and send it out to people, and that's all there is to it, because your boy has worked a fucking week. Should you want to chat with us, there's many ways that you can. Mr. Graham, tell the good people how they can get in touch.
Of course, as usual, it's at DU Football Show on all the social media and DUFootballShow@gmail.com to get in touch via email.
Very good. And I would say the closed group has been fire for this midweek, hasn't it, Mr. Graham?
Yes, it has. There's a lot of people just making other people angry.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a ton of fun, actually. Because they're doing it in the right way, Sam.
Right. Well, you know, we wouldn't want anybody to leave. That's for damn sure. Sam, myself, both work in the wine and spirit industry and both have a deep passionate love for all things distilled spirits. So as the red-blooded Americans we are, we vow to have a drink in our hand throughout this show and every single show. Mr. Graham, we're going to take a little break from the advocate list. We only got three left. We'll get to it on Monday. But since we're doing this over Zoom tonight, why don't you go ahead and tell me what you're drinking and I'll tell you what I'm drinking.
A little bit of the old Colonel.
Oh, good call, my friend.
It's been a last week was end of fiscal from one of our biggest suppliers, as I talked about on Monday. So we got beat to hell all week. And then this week has been potential reorganization hanging over our heads. Mm-hmm. So it's not been a great start here for me this April.
So which E.H. Taylor do you have there today?
Just the standard small batch, your 100 proof. Just they're, you know, relatively not unicorn, but hard to find bottle.
Allocated bottle, but not an impossible bottle for darn
impossible
sure.
Impossible bottle, yeah. No, normally comes out every month to, you know, your select retailers that do some of that business. So
I actually got one that you now represent that used to be at my old haunt from way back in the day. I am drinking the James E. Pepper Rye, and this is their barrel proof, coming in at 114.6 proof. Producer Mel just decided to grab me a whiskey, and she went, go ahead.
Well, he's frantically setting up, and he's had a large day, and I was like, dude, let me make choices for you. I'm just going to grab you a whiskey. And the closet, it's huge. And I went down and I looked for what bottles had the most amount of dust, because I figured he hadn't had that one in a while.
Good call. You just didn't realize you grabbed the barrel proof one for the boy who hasn't had one long day. He's had four of them.
I knew what I was doing.
Oh, you knew exactly. You're going to put my ass to sleep as soon as this show is over is what you're going for.
I think you're talking about those Everton highlights is when we're about to take a nap.
Yeah, there ain't much really to talk about other than don't put people in headlocks. This is it's MGP juice, so big dill pickle-y kind of spices, and it's just a big huge rye, and it's also really affordable. This is one that would run you $40 at the most, kind of thing.
Well, since I sell it now, I think the barrel proof runs you about 55 to 60 on the shelf.
Okay.
The standard will run you between 35 and 42. Yeah. That sort of range.
And that standard is 100 proof already, and it's a great just everyday rye for damn sure.
I've got an exclusive, actually, since we're talking about that brand, one of my stores that I call on, which I will reveal in the near future. Actually picked a barrel of that.
Oh, very cool. Love it.
Yeah, so they'll be getting a barrel of James E. Pepper at some point in the next, I don't know, 6-7 months.
Love it.
A little closer to when everything's confirmed. We get bottle counts. I'll let everybody know where it is so they can go check it out.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, Mr. Graham, let's have ourselves a great show. Little air cheers here since Mel's got a mug. There we go. A very dull fucking click, but it'll work. So typically whenever we do this show, whatever the last game is, it's always the final game on Oso that happened. Except for when it's just flat out bat shit fucking crazy. Chelsea 4, Manchester United 3. This game was nuts from the fucking jump, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely was. I mean, there was, you know, kind of as we'll come on to, obviously, early goals all over the gaff this midweek, all over the league. But in this one was no exception. Gallagher got on the end of a deflected pullback, which is an odd sentence in and of itself, inside of 4 minutes. And then obviously just 18 minutes later, I'm sorry, on 18 minutes, 14 minutes later, there was a penalty awarded.
Yep. And next thing you know, it's 2-0.
Chelsea are 2-0 up, fucking cruising, no problem. Manchester United haven't even threatened yet.
And yet somehow at the end of the first half, what's the score, Graham?
Fucking 2-2. Because why not? There was a terrible back pass from I think it was Canseco.
It was Canseco, yeah.
That just put a very young defender. I think his squad number is 53. Couldn't even be bothered to look his name up. Sorry. Put him well under the cosh because I'm sure we'll never see him again. He'll be on loan to Vitesse before the end of the week. I'm sure. but no, a terrible back pass, which, and I can't believe I'm saying this sentence. Anthony did very fucking well. Hockey assist, though. This stage in the game still has not contributed to a goal in the Premier League all season.
Jesus.
But picked out Dallow very well. I think it was over on the left side. And then Dallow crossed expertly. And obviously you had Bruno nodding home.
Yep.
That leveler for that passage of play.
Good restraint by Højlund not to jump up for that ball and let Fernandez head that away too.
Yeah, absolutely. But and then obviously everybody saw it. Garnacho being in for that first passage of play from the Canseco bad pass. So it was just, you know, kind of bonkers all around, just mistakes all over the shop.
Yeah. We go into the second half and then Manchester United find themselves up fucking 3-2 in a game they certainly didn't deserve to be ahead in. I mean, it wasn't like Chelsea didn't have chances.
And the worst part is this could be the pass of the season, which is unfortunate because he doesn't deserve it. I mean, if he practiced hitting balls like that more than he did his girlfriend, he'd be worth the $100 million Manchester United spent on him, Anthony.
Damn!
I'll tell you that. Yeah, fucking hot fire tonight, okay? We're both tired. I don't have time for bullshit. We're cutting deep. We're cutting fucking deep here, all right? But that sweet, sweet outside of the left boot into Garnacho's path. Oh, but I should add, allegedly.
Heard, allegedly. Good call.
The YouTubes might have a problem with what I said.
Did he allegedly hit the ball, or you were talking about allegedly something else that he hit?
He definitely hit this ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's just as much evidence as Mason Greenwood, but it's not proven yet.
Right.
So, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Anyway, the sweet, sweet outside of the left boot there, into the path of Garnacho. And what a great improvised finish. The way the ball bounced up, right? He didn't really have any other to do, but he definitely caught Petrovic out and just kind of nodded past him. It was very, very well done to go 3-2. And you said, oh, shit, you know, what is Chelsea going to do here? It's over with. The comeback's complete, right?
Yep.
Manchester United are back.
Yep. Wrong.
Stoppage time.
Wrong. The last minute was fucking insanity, Mr. Graham.
It absolutely was. This is what you paid Peacock for. You know what I'm saying? This is the reason we subscribe to Peacock, is if we didn't, we'd miss this kind of shit. Now, I know this particular game was on USA.
Right, right.
This was a Saturday, 10 o'clock. It probably would have been on Peacock.
Yep.
And they would have shown Stoke Burnley from the championship. or whoever. Obviously, I know Burnley are in the top flight. But it's just a joke. But so Cole Palmer comes down. It's a good break by Chelsea. Manchester United had a bit of a half chance. Nothing major. Transition happens. And then soft penalty, in my opinion. He clipped his heel, and there's no two ways about it. Dallow gave the penalty up.
Oh yeah,
to start, you know, this, I guess, comeback, which you thought was just an equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Cole Palmer tucks that home. You know, kind of off the inside of the right post.
Yep.
Onana diving the wrong way, and then you have Manchester United frantically going to try to score a winner. That took about 12 seconds. And then about 13 seconds later, Cole Palmer wins a corner. The corner's taken. And then he absolutely leathers a ball, got McTominay's nipple. The McTerminator puts the whole Matrix up in flames, you know, and Gandalf got the goal. It was wild, you know, for all the nerds out there.
And there you have it, like that. Whistle blows, game over, Chelsea fucking wins.
Fucking get it done. Beat me up, Scotty. It's over with. That was one of the sloppiest fucking things from two storied franchises. And it's just, I can't believe it. It's wild stuff. But Manchester United obviously are not back.
Right. Oh, Graham, it's very simple. Manchester United are still frauds. Everyone held serve at the top. One rested their squad. One scored goals. And one scored all the goals. Sorry there. I'm a little tired. And one just wanted revenge. Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 2, Luton 0, Liverpool 3, Sheffield 1. Foden with another hat trick, man. Dude. When it seems like he's kind of tapering off a little bit, next thing you know, takes over an entire fucking game.
I mean, 20 fantasy points, so I can't be too mad. If we're going to lose, at least it was Foden.
Fair enough. It's, you know what, no, with no Ollie Watkins, it's going to be tough, right? At any stage.
And Emmy was sick day of.
Anyone you have lower in the depth chart is not as good. And then Martinez, barrel-aged, as you say, with the little illness, that doesn't help as well, obviously. And Robin Olsen, I thought, made a couple of very good saves.
Yeah, it was Duran, the other Frenchman, that scored the goal, and it was gorgeous.
It was a gorgeous finish. Two different notions of offsides on the same play, both of them not offsides.
Yeah.
Actually, the Italian bloke.
That VAR, when it, after the goal, like waiting, and there's no reason to wait that long, it really does kill energy and momentum. The Italian bloke, Zanoglia, aka Thighmaster, he fucked us.
He did, absolutely, but he
thought
was
the Italians
not
were brave.
Because he did very well. Did the old Thierry Henry, hands up, don't move.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
no, so he didn't flinched. Affect the play, obviously, on Duran's goal.
Well, Thighmaster left a gap.
Yeah, that's exactly mentioning that is the free kick where apparently Zanolio forgot that a wall is supposed to stay securely together
yeah.
and nope. jump in unison, not spread away and make a giant hole to go here, kick it right here.
I think you could hear him go as the ball came right by him.
I heard he's being transferred to the Mexican border to build Trump's wall. I'm pretty sure there's going to be holes in that one.
So, yeah, that's about all I got to say about that.
Graham is spicy. All right, well, then how about you do some barrel-aged malort there, producer yeah. Mel?
Bye, Master. Keep that shit tight.
I will say, Mr. Graham, one thing that is worth noting, that is a prime example of why Arsenal played City the way they played City at City, because Villa tried to push it and Villa got worked for doing it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I said it on Monday's show on injury time that whenever City get held or they lose or whatever, the next team always kind of reaps the wrath, if you will, of that poor result. And Unai Emery should probably know this by now and probably should have set up the team a bit differently.
Yeah, don't disagree.
You know, but how can you be the brilliance of Foden? I mean, he was fouled, got up, won the ball back himself, slipped, and still rifled the ball into the top corner.
Yeah, that, you can't wow, really, what a hit.
You can't really combat that. He did everything that movement could possibly be done.
Well, in a week where you assumed that this would be the opportunity, and we'll get to Spurs in the next segment about here's the opportunity for them to really gain points, they gained one. That's all they got, right? Like, if ever there was the opportunity, there was the opportunity, and they fucking blew it.
I've been telling you cunts for years that the term Spursy is a thing, mm-hmm. and no one believes me.
Now, Mr. Graham, here's one for you, though, is the... You're talking about formations and how people set up. Arteta said, fuck it. You know what?
That transition.
Thank you. Fuck it. Let's go ahead and rest some guys because going to Brighton is not going to be easy. It doesn't need to be pretty. We just need to win. And they did exactly fucking that while resting a lot of key people up top.
Absolutely. Y'all said, so Jeet texted me about, I don't know, 40 minutes before kickoff. It was like, what the fuck's he doing with the lineup? What's going on? I was like, gee, what do you mean? It's Luton at home. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he was like, man, Saka didn't even make the bench. What's he doing? Arteta out. And I was like, relax. Remember, he didn't say Arteta out, but he was very angry at Mikel. I said, listen.
Graham. You know Arsenal TV was fucking up in arms about it.
Oh, of course. I'm sure they were. But I said, remember, Saka got subbed off against City. When has he ever been subbed off this season? He had to have a problem.
Right.
Right? You got to get him some rest. Don't even give yourself the temptation to put him on.
Not worth it.
We've got Brighton, as you say, coming up here. We also have the Champions League is going to be restarting in the next week or two.
Yep.
So you need to rest these key people. You have to have, if we're going to be pushing, right, for either one of these trophies, you have to be resting these key people at the opportunities you have to rest them. And Luton, despite how much we like them, despite their effort and their gallivanting nature, shit.
Yeah, they're just not a very good team. And they showed a lot of heart and they hustled. That one center back, ooh, that was a bad day for him. He
did not have a good day.
Got hurt and the game kept playing on and then he got all angry about it. And then the old OG.
it's tough. And he's a young kid as well. I mean, it's, you know, that had the own goal. That's very difficult. I mean, ML Smith Rowe, came in obviously and danced and did everything he was supposed to do. Before that, obviously he won the ball off of Mpanzu, Pelly Ruddock, and created the initial chance for Odegaard basically by winning the ball so high at the pitch.
Yeah.
So he had himself a hell of a game just in general. But for that, I didn't write his name down, the player that had the own goal. But it was one of the younger defenders.
Hasegawa. I want to say he's Japanese, I believe.
Odagawa or
something
like that.
Starts with an H, yeah.
It sounds about right.
And, I mean, honestly, we said this at the start of the week, but it bears repeating right now, is Luton are about to run out of chances. Like, this next weekend, they got Bournemouth at home, which is a winnable game, but the problem is Bournemouth is red fucking hot right now.
Absolutely. And we were way far off. It's Hashioka.
Hashioka. There we go.
Yeah. That's his name. But yeah, Bournemouth are... This game was not red hot.
Right. No. For them. No. This was a training match for...
They got over the line.
Yeah. You did what you needed to do. You had guys on the bench that if you needed to put some more goals in, you could. But there was winning it 6-0 was going to do nothing for you. It was going to do nothing for you.
3-0 for me would have hit my bet because pretty much everything else happened until Manchester United shit their pants.
Well, that's what I like about it, is that the thing you needed was your team and it didn't hit your bet.
Which but it's fine because Manchester United shit their pants, so it's their fault.
Okay, it's their fault. Very good.
Because in the 98th minute, it was tied of 8 minutes of stoppage time. That should have come in.
Yeah.
So it is Manchester United's fault now.
Heard directly. Scott McTominator, blame his nipples. Now, the key thing, Liverpool goes out and scores 4 goals. Problem, 1 was in their own fucking net.
Yeah, I mean, it's harsh. I get the joke. It's a bit harsh on young Bradley, but...
He has been exceptional for the Reds this season.
Absolutely. But the header came down. He was shifting his body weight, turning to meet this cross, and the ball gets headed against the side of his leg from, I don't know, 4 feet away, and it nutmegs Kelleher, old Queefer, and it just finds the back of the net. I mean, you can't really write it. It's just one of those things that just fucking happens sometimes.
If he was a quality right back like Seamus Coleman, he would have scored it with much more style points like Seamus did this past weekend.
With his whole cock. Yeah.
Exactly. But ultimately, the game was never in doubt. It was Reds the whole way.
I'll tell you where the doubt was. The doubt was in the first 72 seconds. Because Sheffield United, from first kickoff until a minute two, dominated that game.
They held possession the whole time?
Oh, yeah. And now 30 seconds of it was out of bounds. They were set up for a corner. But for those 72 seconds, Sheffield United were in fucking charge.
Yeah.
They ended up, in that 72 seconds, had two of their, and I'll tell you right now because it makes it funnier, they had two of their 3 shots on target in the first 72 seconds.
And then nothing else. Yeah,
Liverpool just went bucket. And I'd love Captain Chaos. This is how he gets the goal. Back turn, karate kick, double karate kick, crane, whatever that move is. The goalkeeper had enough time to bake a pie, and he still let Captain Chaos in close enough to block his clearance. Absolutely ridiculous. For an opening goal from Sheffield United.
Send the floor, Darwin, son.
Yeah. What? So I just can't even... It's absurd what happened here.
Despite what happened with City and Arsenal, the Reds get it done. It doesn't matter how the style points on. It doesn't matter how it goes in the back of the net. It went in the back of the net, and you win the fucking game, and you're back on top again.
Right, and what I will say, though, too, is Phil Foden, go fuck yourself, because Alexis McAllister stayed on his feet for his glorious strike of the weekend.
Also, worth mentioning, you have to figure they're going to fuck it off, or it'll end up being like the FA Cup game. Next up for Liverpool, Manchester United.
Oh, can't wait.
Rounding out the rest of the league, and oh, so that happened. Looking at my delusional ass typing, we round out the rest of the league, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Everton 1, Newcastle 1, Forest 3, Fulham 1, Burnley 1, Wolves 1, Bournemouth 1, Palace 0, West Ham 1, Tottenham 1, Brentford 0, Brighton 0. Newcastle were far and away the better team, They dominated it. They should have been up by a lot more than they were. Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't even really write much about the game in my notes. I want to ask you a question here, and I'm going to kind of pontificate a little bit afterwards with a couple of statements.
Sure, sure.
But I want you to answer this because I don't really know what to make of Everton, and that's what I want to know. What do we make of Everton? Because sometimes it's schoolboy defending. Sometimes it's a really good, full of heart and energy performance. Occasionally y'all play really good football. But is this a high school team, a pro team, or a college team? Like, what are you guys? Because the defending for the Ezak goal, for instance, James Tarkowski, one of the most experienced defenders in the league, what is this little half-hearted
right
jump? Jump and miss it, but jump. His studs didn't even top the blades of grass.
And Branthwaite slides, like, early to the ball? Like, he doesn't even slide at the ball, right?
Is a kid.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But Tarkowski, like, you're one of the most experienced. You knew you couldn't get there, number one. Number two, if you make the decision, then go full-blooded into the decision.
Right.
Jump. Like I said, when he this hands the ground, his studs were still touching the grass.
Yeah.
He put himself out of position and didn't even give himself a chance to touch the ball.
All right, so to give you an answer to your question, this is a professional team. They do show the signs of a professional team. It is a team that is devoid of a lot of opportunity and answers. The guys that they sub on are essentially the same guys they sub off, right? Main difference between Gomez and Decore, besides Gomez just being dead fucking sexy, is Gomez is more of a control the ball pass kind of guy, where Decore is a very much a high energy guy. But other than that, on the wings, you replace it with the like player. In the midfield, you're replacing with a like player. It's pretty much alike. And particularly at the top, Beto and Calvert-Lewin are both interchangeable. They're the same style of striker. I honestly think all the outside noise is getting to him. I really do think just the constant what's happening with the sale of the team, what's happening with the points deduction, because there's so many. It's honestly like the summertime free transfer window where people are just taking two darts and throwing them on the board. I've seen reports that they were 150 million off and that they're going to get a massive point deduction for this. Then there's stories of the Premier League's going to get rid of point deductions altogether after this season, right? So then you're like, oh, okay, so fuck City and Chelsea get away with it, right? Even though they specifically said we're giving points deductions because owners can just write checks. And then you essentially go, okay, the two owners that can really write checks write a fucking check. And then another thing that's come up, and this is something that if this happens, I would say is very unfair for Forest, is the talk of Everton receiving a points deduction, but it being charged to next season. That's not fair. Both teams got the violation at the same season. They should both get their deductions.
Now, they did for the violations in the same season. The second Everton charge, the next violation, it includes the 3 years after that violation.
But the Forest and Everton's second charge and Forest's first charge are the same time frame. The one Everton got before that was from the year prior, and now it's another 3 years.
So my annoyance in general, and I've spoken about this before, Everton, I feel, are in a double jeopardy. So you already charged me for this. Why am I being charged again for this?
I very much tend to agree with you, but I just wanted maybe
the independent commission, because they have carte fucking blanche, because there is no schedule of punishment,
right,
is just going, we feel bad, we're gonna dock you again, so we're gonna go ahead and defer that,
right?
But the last question I have about your team, honestly, is on paper obviously you're much better than Sean Dyche's Burnley team, but Sean Dyche's Burnley team defensively were sound. They lost a lot of games 1-0, but they were hard. organized. They were, you know, all of those things that we associate why he has the reputation that he has. He's now been in charge about a year, maybe a little more. Why has that not seemed to translate with now Tarkovsky obviously was one of his, but the rest of them seem to be better. I mean, Mykolenko seems to know his job. He cleared one off the line in full Ukrainian blood and force, which was great. But other than that, everybody seems to just be so helter-skelter. And why hasn't he had that much of an influence on the defense? I don't get it.
I completely disagree with that statement because Everton has the fifth lowest goals against in the league.
It doesn't. I mean, I'm just eye test, I guess. I'm not looking at the stats in front of me.
That's where I'm going to disagree with you because Everton has the fifth less goal. Now, they are also the second worst scoring team in the league. Only Sheffield United has scored less goals. So I would say it's very much critical goals or critical mistakes at critical times. But as far as giving up goals, they aren't really giving up goals.
It's like I said, I'm not looking at the stats in front of me. It just, they look bad. So maybe it's just they give up shit goals. Like they're very bad goals that they do give up. So it looks worse than it is. That may be the case.
Yeah. And couple that too with the, with where they are right now. It's they need every single goal they can get in order to win games. And then we look at them where they are now on 13 unbeaten. And I think we are really uber highlighting the mistakes they make because it's been 13 games without a win.
Yeah.
But you know what?
That could absolutely be true.
Now, easier said than done, beat Burnley this weekend at home, right? Hold serve at home. Hold serve at home, and a lot. This fixes a lot of problems for you because you play a lot of these teams and multiple of them at home as this season comes to an end. Someone who did finally hold serve at home, I'm amazed because they look so crap against Palace. Forest looked great. Big win.
So I think this had more to do with Fulham than it did with Forest.
Don't disagree.
To be honest, because in most games, everybody else in the league kind of realizes that Morton Gibbs-White makes them tick. Forest, for whatever reason, said, here's the keys to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? Everybody else kind of man marks him out of the game. And he showed why he is a good, talented footballer and maybe should be looked at by England as an option if they need a third string guy in that James Maddison, Phil Foden kind of number 10 position.
Right. Especially if Mount isn't 100%.
Right. Right. If somebody's not up to snuff, you know, this is a guy you could bring in that can do a job. And maybe has a little bit of an unknown factor as well. But Fulham decided to go pace yourself to Gareth.
Yeah.
So much so that Marco Silva actually kicked his own self in the nut and said, I got this completely wrong. Triple substitution on 33 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled off of Wobi, Harry Wilson, and Sasha Lukic, all of which are experienced stalwarts in that Fulham team. And he just said, fuck you, I got it wrong. Where, you know, or you guys aren't playing up to snuff. We got the tactics here are not correct, but it didn't help. I mean, Forrest were brilliant, and it really all channeled through Gibbs-White. The whole performance channeled through Gibbs-White.
Yeah.
The only thing that surprised me more than Fulham's ineptitude was Chris Wood actually scored with his fucking feet.
Yeah, how about that?
From 20 yards out at that.
And honestly, it doesn't get any easier for Fulham. Sure, they're at home, but they've got Newcastle next. And West Ham are getting points, so Newcastle feels the pressure that they're going to have to fucking keep pace with them. So
yep.
I'm very interested to see how Fulham end up next year. Is their coach still there? What, we know Polina's going to be gone, you know? So very, very interesting time for them. Now, I would say great point for Burnley, but an even better fucking goal for Bjørn Larsen. What a fucking crack that was.
It was a fantastic goal from Bjørn Larsen. You're absolutely right. There were chances early on for both clubs that weren't really taken, but halfway through the first half, Bjørn Larsen just gets this phenomenal opener. I mean, you can't really argue with it. But then Ryan Aitnori looked like Mo Salah for a minute. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're both Egyptian, mm-hmm. and he danced through and got the equalizer. I mean, that was a fantastic bit of play from him. Right. Well, I'm sorry. He won the free kick with the dancing, then finished off the free kick with a header.
Yeah.
It was pretty well done from, I guess, a left back position, left winger.
They're essentially using him as a wing back kind of play because they like to play a three back system.
But he's been stepping in like Zinchenko was last season. You know, he's been doing that kind of inverted thing where when they're on the attack, he steps into midfield. And he's one of their best players.
He had the exact same shot, though, saved against them that he had against Emmy over the weekend.
Yep.
Muniz did the exact same thing. What's the keeper's name? Merka?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but his name is Murit, maybe.
Yeah, there we go.
M-U-R-I-C.
He made the exact same save. Got big on a pretty much dead-to-rights open net and made a save, and that was the exact same thing. So the one thing you have to say for Ant Nori, it's like, yeah, he's getting some goals, but he's also missing some very good opportunities. And for a team that's missing players, you need those guys to fucking put the ball in the net, especially when he's quote unquote on a hot streak right now because he's scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But other than those two instances, nothing really happened.
No,
the
not
rest
really.
Of the game, there was a few half chances. There was a couple things. The most exciting thing that happened was a 952-year-old Jay Rodriguez was very obviously offside, tucked the ball in the corner, and then got called back, and he cried a little.
Yeah.
That was it.
What also did not really have much to it was Bournemouth beating Palace. I mean, nice goal, but man, that was a tough watch.
It was so I don't normally write this kind of stuff down, but this was that boring that I did. The opening, because I didn't watch this game, the opening of the highlight started at 20 minutes. They had the studio guys doing the lineup, and then they went, here's whoever. And it was 20 minutes in was the first bit of action they showed on the highlight package.
Jesus.
So the first 19 minutes was absolutely fuck all. And the thing that happened in the 20th minute didn't amount to much.
Bournemouth kind of keeps this up. Like, they might find themselves in 11th or 10th place. Like, they're just quietly winning over and over and over again. And it's like, Luton at home is a completely different beast, but you got to feel like, especially after beating them 4-3, I mean, like, Luton, you're not getting the right team. I mean, yeah, they're not in any kind of conversation, but they're winning games right now.
Yeah. What I will say is Bournemouth, what's sad about this for Palace, let's put it from their perspective, is with this win, you're absolutely right, Bournemouth are, you know, kind of on their way to scratching that crystal ceiling. Get it?
Yes, I do. I'm doing
finger guns for those that can't see me.
That's right. We're coming in hot tonight, right? One thing that also is worth mentioning in all of that, I know Solanke didn't score, but I've figured it out, Sam, who Dominic Solanke has become.
Okay.
Darren Pent. Scores 20 goals for a shit team.
Yeah.
Like, Bent would score 20 goals a season for Stoke. In Sunderland.
Yeah. They finished in 12th. Well done.
You know who could do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke? Darren motherfucking Bent could.
Yeah, they're right. Poor
damn sure.
Norris got relegated. Darren Bent had 24.
So, West Ham and Tottenham, it was a crazy opening 20 minutes. It was a crazy final five, and fuck all between the pipes.
Nothing happened in between that at all. Yeah. You're absolutely fucking right. Now, I think, you know what I do think, though, is Timo Werner has figured out that he doesn't like being made into memes that miss goals, right? Because there's a lot of those.
Right.
So he just decided, I'm going to be the guy that drives to the byline and passes the ball to the guy that can score.
Right.
Because that's what he's done the last two or three games in a row, and it seems to have fucking worked. Because he found Brennan Johnson, and this is one of the weirdest celebrations I've ever seen. He looked very aloof, didn't really thank Timo Werner for his work until about 17 steps towards the halfway line when the huddle started to dissipate, and then he tapped him on the head and went, thanks.
Thanks. Good job.
Thanks.
Well done. Thanks. This is
super weird. I've never seen any. You just scored a goal, man. Like, do something, celebrate. But yeah. I've never seen. But you know what it is? He's just now accustomed to being spurred.
That's it.
He just scored.
He found his home.
I know this isn't going to amount to much.
Yeah. Found his home. He found his home.
That's the point. Yeah.
And honestly, West Ham get that equalizer on a surprisingly not a James Ward-Prowse corner, but a Jaron Bowen corner. And
right.
Zuma puts on a nice fucking header. And honestly, the rest of the match, other than right at the end, which was very frantic, I'm not so sure there were like great opportunities
proper
at the end.
Chances, yeah.
Other than it was just they're down at this end, they're down at this end, they're down at this end, they're down at this, just back and forth. But really, Vicario got called upon to make a good handful of saves throughout the match. And it was, for me, felt like West Ham was far and away the better club, even though neither team was particularly all that great.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I also think that for the few times Vicario was called on, he did well. I think he was very soft for Kurt Zuma's goal.
Right.
I mean, Antonio, there was a little bit of body there, but you really should be able to fight through that and get to it.
Yeah.
But he was also wrong-footed at the same time. Like, he almost went away from where the ball went. It was, the whole goal was very strange, but good on the cat kicker. Very, very happy for him. Well done.
Keeping it spicy, aren't we?
I'm just saying, you know, John Madden said once in a movie, if you can't do something, if you can't handle the congratulations, don't do anything great. Right?
Sam Grant.
In our life, handle the flack, don't do dumb shit.
You know what?
Like kicking cat.
Sam Graham, as Tegan always says.
Hella zesty.
You know? No doubt about it. Typically, we would say Brentford and Brighton played a professional match in the English Premier League. But we won't say that because for a 0-0 draw, this was actually pretty fucking entertaining. Felt like it was more entertaining than Bournemouth and Palace.
It was more entertaining than Bournemouth and Palace without actually having done anything else.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't many chances. And I think there were 8 shots on target registered, but most of them were very tame.
You know what they did have? They had the rare instance where the referee goes to the monitor and then disallows the goal. Like, I mean, like didn't, like, let the play on the field actually stand. You're like, holy shit. Like, VAR didn't make him change his mind. It was very odd to see. Really, the big thing I would say, ultimately, it's for Brighton. Yao Pedro, sorry, his Christian name, Pedro, is back. That's very big for them.
Yes, it is. Although he was terrible in this game.
Yeah, but you got to figure he's going to be rough around the edges for a little bit. That's for damn sure.
No, absolutely. But him being back is important. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
That is definitely beneficial to Brighton, especially because Evan Ferguson has been misfiring so much when he is fit or trusted.
And I would say, finally, for Brentford, you get another draw, which is good. It's another point, but you really need a win here soon because you got to get yourself out of this, out of being even in the conversation. And a win or two ends the conversation. You'll be safe.
Yeah, and they also were outplayed at home as well. I mean, those 8 shots on target came, all be them. They were 6-2 in Brighton's favor, which is not a great stat.
Yeah, you do not want to end up going down out of this league by a bee's dick.
Sure money.
We all lost. Fuck it. We're not doing anything this weekend. We're all tired.
Yeah, exactly. Kitty hit, though, of course, because, of course, Kitty hit.
Fuck Kitty.
Yeah. You, myself,
I ate chicken wings twice today.
Oh, there you go. Did you use pocket hot sauce?
Did use pocket hot sauce, actually, yes.
Well done. Well done. All right, well, that is going to wrap it up, boys and girls. Mr. Graham, do you have any parting words?
Nah, nobody was really cunty except for Manchester United fans that thought they had it. So just stop expecting things and you won't come off as such twats.
And just understand your frauds. Although Young Hot Freshness did reach out to me and go, how did we win that game?
Yeah. Like, I mean, at least they did that, right? I mean, at least he had the humility to go, we didn't deserve it, but.
All right, fuck it. I'll take it. Take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one thing for certain. Cole Palmer will be playing on that team next year. The rest of the team, nah, who knows? Maybe. Probably, you know. Old Bully's going to need to fucking balance that checkbook. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, the rest of that team is going to be in League 2 helping Wrexham get up.
Ah, very good. Actually, League 1, remember, Wrexham's on the verge of getting themselves out of there.
Murdered. You're absolutely right, yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Next up is going to be Injury Time, where we preview the weekend's action. Graham, should somebody want to find Injury Time, how do they go about doing it?
Patreon.com/DFootballShow. Just sign up for that $1 $5 tier. You get all of our extra content when we feel like doing it, because we didn't do a sound check today.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you get sound check on a regular basis. You get Injury Time on a regular basis, obviously, which is our preview show. So we'll hopefully see you over on that channel. Just sign up to that $5 tier. Mel will send you the link and a little personal signed card by her, and everything's fine.
I will, we'll recap.
She doesn't do that, by the way.
No, she doesn't.
That was a joke. Yeah, no.
I'll recap
Sam
everything.
Sam has prettier handwriting.
Yeah. I'll recap everything for the work week and everything that went on with me. And you can go ahead and divulge and talk a little bit more about whatever, you know, the reorg and all the things it caused you, which I know everybody's going to want to hear what went on in our work lives.
You mean on Monday?
On Monday, yeah.
Assuming we're still here on Monday.
Oh, that's right. The eclipse is coming. We're all going to die, allegedly, as Alec Jones said. Ironically, you notice what James E. Pepper is, right? 1776.
That was also
never forget.
Not an accident.
Wait a second. What did the prophet Alex Jones say? We're all going to die?
Yeah, the eclipse.
I think the rapture is coming with the eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a false flag planned by the government.
Allegedly, satire.
Eclipses happen all the time.
Please don't ban us for picking up random words.
It's not satire.
What?
I'm a good Christian man. So if the rapture is happening, you're the only one that has to worry.
Like I said, I've never seen anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Till next Monday, everybody.
God bless.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland, bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye, Sam Houston. Arsenal fans have another Sam, aka the fucking Gooner Graham. Stump of a lord, look straight in shorts, Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Don't you get